This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Can transform the world and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What is up with... Wait, are you on?
Wait. Ahoy! Sorry.
Hello.
How long we've been doing this?
Well, I did hit the button. The problem is I've got the fat thumb, and on the Wheatstone, the off button is right adjacent by about a quarter inch. And so sometimes if you go to hit the on, what you do with the fat thumb is when you hit the on, you hit the off as well.
I don't believe you. I feel like you just forgot to press the button.
No, I reached down and hit it right before we
either
went on.
Either that, or we just need, we need to address this and hire a skinnier thumbed co-host.
It's possible.
For me.
Oh, wow.
Well, the thing is, I've got small hands, but I've got fat thumbs. And I got the sausage thumb. The rest of the fingers, not so much, but for whatever reason, I got big toe thumbs.
Well, I always wonder how that sounds out there when we screw up the...
Yeah, right up the get-go.
They're probably like, ooh,
well, and
it's going to be a bad day.
I'm dragging a little bit anyways. Not much sleep. I got Seagal'd last night.
Seagal'd?
I got Seagal'd.
Oh, God.
Why do you watch that? You finish watching a movie, right? And you're like, The Accused was on last night, right? And so I was like, well, that's powerful movie. Jodie Foster, Academy Award winner.
I like Jodie Foster.
I do too. And it's a really powerful movie. And I hadn't seen The Accused in years. And I was like, all right, I'll watch The Accused. And it got over at like 12:50, right? And I'm like, it's fine. Plenty of time. Go to bed, wake up, feel refreshed, good. So The Accused finished. And like I said, the end of it is like it's a movie about like rape, obviously.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so it's like this really kind of like powerful moment at the end of it. And so I got up, went to the bathroom, brushed the teeth and all that. And when I came back to go to bed, it transitions from one movie into the next. And what did I get? Like, next on Showtime, Steven Seagal in Marked for Death. And I'm like, hell. Well, now I'm up for the next 2 hours. Like, I'm going to turn off Marked for Death, the 1990 Steven Seagal classic where I watch him awkwardly run and kill a bunch of Jamaicans. And then next thing I know, it's like 3 a.m. and now I'm all wound up from Marked for Death. I didn't get to bed till like 3:30. I got Seagal'd.
Was Half Past Dead on?
No, but I'm not going to lie. Halfway through Marked for Death, I did start looking around to see if Above the Law was on at some point. Because there's only like 3 good.
And I was going to say.
And by good, that's air quotes.
Has that guy done 20 movies?
Oh, he's done. Last night when I looked at, because you can scroll down, like if you have Xfinity, you can scroll down to the actor. And then it gives you all the movies they've been in. You can look and see if they're available on demand or when they're coming up.
That's kind of cool.
He has 67 movies to his credit.
And how many of them are good?
Well, good is a strong word because Marked for Death is not good.
How many of them are watchable?
3. There's 3 acceptable Steven Seagal movies, and they're all from like 1990 to 1993. And for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I loved Steven Seagal movies because they weren't, they were just different. Like it wasn't like Jean-Claude Van Damme, like roundhouse kicking people. He was breaking arms, right? Like he would do his weird Aikido thing and he was like snapping arms. And there was something about that I loved. And so now he's such a joke. He's
so
just
now
like this
we've learned
fat,
you like,
bloated.
You like rape and snapping arms.
Is
that what we've learned?
Well, here? Unfortunately, that was my evening.
Guess what
night.
I just found out on IMDb?
What?
Above the Law 2 has been announced.
No way.
Yep.
What? Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
He is once again taking on the role of Nico Toscani from the 1988 film Above the Law.
He is so bloated and just...
Isn't he like out to lunch
been
though?
Announced.
Yeah, he's insane. Like he's officially insane.
You know who's not insane all of a sudden?
What?
Have you been following the Axl Rose saga?
No, he's the definition of insanity.
Not really.
Really? What is happening
well,
there?
Well, he is insane. I mean, look, he is.
Yeah, I was going to say, but, like, that's a bold statement to say Axl Rose is no longer insane.
Axl Rose is leading the charge on some political stuff, and a lot of people agree with him.
What?
Yeah.
Let me just say this.
Yeah, look him up.
If your political movement...
He's become the voice of reason.
If your political movement is based on anything that Axl Rose had to say after Mr. Brownstone, then I don't know what to tell you. You need a new belief system.
He hates Trumpy. And I don't know who hates Trumpy. Not me.
Well, no, you voted for him. He's your guy.
But he hates Trump.
Okay.
And he has become a voice of reason in that camp that a lot of people are starting to listen to.
Let me just say this.
Because of his big name.
Look, you can like whoever you want. There's a million reasons to hate Donald Trump.
He's very outspoken.
And a million reasons. There is not a million and one that should be Axl Rose. At no point should anything Axl Rose have to say after November Rain have anything to do with your political views.
Well, this raises an interesting question. If you are out to lunch, like Steven Seagal or Axl Rose, you just assume dumb things are going to come out of their mouth, right?
Sure.
What happens when you're out to lunch and everybody knows you're out to lunch and you can define that however you like?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start speaking truths that everybody's like, wait a minute.
Broken clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right a couple
times. It's not the right time.
No, it's just a
most of the time.
Yeah, broken clock. It's right every now and then. You look up and you're like, hey, it's 6:37, but as soon as 6:38 rolls around, not so much.
So does Seagal live in Russia? Is that a true story?
He's a Russian citizen. He got Putin loves him. And it's weird because Steven Seagal thought he was Chinese for like 20 years.
True story.
Yeah, he
was really into the Asian crap. Yeah. And then he thought
and David Lee Roth.
Yes. And then he thought he was Native American for a while. Like all his movies, he played like a guy that seemingly was a Native American and fighting for Native American causes. And now he's Russian. And then he's like a sheriff in Louisiana and he's like gained like 80 pounds. I don't know what to tell you, but early Seagal in my childhood, I loved early Seagal, and I do need to apologize. There are four good Steven Seagal movies.
You missed one.
I missed one. Under Siege. I forgot about Under Siege.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one.
Yeah. You know, so you got Above the Law, Hard to Kill.
Is he greater than Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yes.
He is?
Yes. Okay. Van Damme makes the same horse crap movies that are terrible. But Seagal actually won as a badass in real life. Like, Steven Seagal would kick your ass. He'd kick all of our asses.
You just called him fat.
He is, but he's like a legitimate martial artist, like a real dude that will snap your neck. And his movies are way better. Like, if you put his four good movies against the four best Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, I'm sorry. It's Seagal in a landslide.
Should we do a new fun game of who's worth more?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I'm still going to say Seagal worth more than Van Damme.
Negative.
Really?
Not even close.
Wow.
I'm going to throw in Axl Rose here. Hold on.
Rose is probably worth more than... I mean, Axl Rose
you
at
never
one point
know, brother.
Was good. Like, the
well,
guns...
Just because you're good doesn't mean you're worth more. Oh, wow.
Peak Axl Rose
Whoa.
Was greatness.
Whoa.
What do you got?
Whoa. Axl Rose net worth...
$100
million? $200 million.
I mean, that guy was... They were enormous.
Okay, next on the list, Jean-Claude Van Damme net worth.
Van Damme?
He's worth more than Seagal, I'll tell you that.
Okay, $75.
$40 million.
Okay. They're doing just fine.
And last but not least, Steven Seagal net worth.
$30 million.
$16 million.
Maybe that's why
not
he's
not great.
No, maybe that's
I mean,
why he's doing.
What do you mean not great?
He's doing fine.
I'd like to be worth $16 million.
Sure.
I'm not.
No, I'm worth more dead than I am alive.
But
I'm worth like $17.
Isn't that funny how we view money like that? We're just like,
$16 million. Not the guy does anything. He makes bad movies and he still gets paid to
so
make bad
movies.
So
how do you not fall asleep watching that garbage? Do you know what I mean?
I got Seagal.
Like, I'm really into Peaky Blinders right now.
Yeah, that's a great show.
And my wife just can't. get over how I always fall asleep. Like, I can't get anywhere because I just fall asleep.
Really?
And I love the show. I'm following the show, but I just, you know, I'm the old man. It is, how do you not fall asleep? Especially when it's crap like that.
You can't fall asleep when you're watching an acting tour de force like Steven Seagal.
So if you're, listen, if you're tired
and
it's 2 a.m.
Yes.
And you see a crappy movie and you go, God bless, I want to watch this. You can stay up the whole time.
This unfortunately happens to me all the time. Is that if I'm watching TV before I go to bed, which is that sometimes I don't even turn it on because I know that if I'm watching something right before, like, I go to sleep, like, you can kind of feel your stuff starting to drift or whatever. I, for whatever reason, will do the it's not smart, unproductive. I will take a lap around the movie channels to see what's on.
And if I find something, you can ward off your,
I can, especially if it's something like
fascinating.
Like if it's, yeah, it's funny, but if it's like one of my favorite movies is like Saving Private Ryan or Field of Dreams, right?
That's pretty cliche.
Yeah, I know. But they're two of my all-time favorite movies.
You're a walking cliche.
If one of those comes on, no. I can turn that off. I can watch to a certain point and turn it off. But if you give me something horrible, like if you give me bad Stallone, bad Seagal, something like that, like a Lethal Weapon, I don't know why, but it hooks me. And I'm in.
Interesting, because I will put something on knowing that I will be watching about 10 minutes of it before I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have, it's like, oh, I'll get this started and then I'll rewind it tomorrow.
And I do this one too. If I'm watching, Mark for Death was what I watched last night. There'll be like a certain scene. I'm like, well, I got to get to the scene and then I can turn it off. But then once that scene happens, I'm like, well, I've made it this far. I might as well go the whole way. Because at one point in that movie, and this is why I can't turn it off, Steven Seagal says the following line: "One man thought he was invincible, the other thought he could fly." And then he whips his head around and says, "They were both wrong." And I'm like, yes, thank you for the. And they filmed that, and someone went, "You know what, Steven? Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Great head whip." And then you're just, then I'm in. There's something about bad 80s or 90s action movies that I can't turn off.
I am seeing here one last hot opinion to add to this.
Yeah.
From dailymovie.net.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing a Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal, who is bigger comparison. Now, this is a bit old. It's from 2015.
Sure.
The winner was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Who's bigger?
Yeah.
Dude, Van Damme's a candy ass.
Even on the, well, they cite the financial level. The box office, he doubled, Van Damme doubled Seagal. At the box office.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're saying that Van Damme was bigger and better. He was the better star.
Jean-Claude Van
Damme.
And
now, apparently, he's like, I guess he's like super self-aware and funny about his life, Jean-Claude, whereas yeah. Seagal has gone crazy.
Oh, that's true. Seagal is off the reservation, whereas Van Damme, like, he does like those stupid Tostitos. Like, he does stuff like that, and he does the don't get Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, he gets it.
Yeah. But Van Damme, like, I guess...
He's floating to the finish line.
The difference is like, if you listen to people that are in, like the MMA world or whatever, like martial arts, Seagal is actually respected, and Van Damme is a bit of a joke.
Why?
Because Van Damme thinks he's a real martial artist, and I guess he's not. Oh. There was a funny story about one of the UFC guys. I forget whose name it was, but Van Damme wanted to go work out with him. And the guy's like, whatever. And Van Damme kind of started to show off, kind of doing these fancy kicks. And the guy's like, really? And Van Damme accidentally kicked him. And it pissed the guy off. And I guess it was on. And Van Damme just turtled. You know, he's a movie tough guy. Whereas Seagal, believe it or not, for all his fat bloatedness, Seagal's actually a legitimate, like, badass.
Mm. I don't think that matters to me.
No.
I just want to be entertained.
I understand. Well, I mean, look, they're both terrible actors, and they make terrible movies. I just prefer the handful of bad Seagal movies to the maybe a few more of the bad Jean-Claude Van Damme
movies. One of our texters brought up an interesting question. What is worse, you watching these crappy movies or John watching bad Mariners baseball? Boy, that's...
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but
because you've seen them. Well, you could argue that John's seen this Mariners debacle
we know how that's going. But the difference is I do it occasionally. John watches that every night.
Every night.
Like, if I'm watching old Seagal movies every night, you have every reason to feel that that I have an issue. But I'd say I have not seen a Steven Seagal movie in probably 5 years. Like, when it came on last night, I was like, what the hell, Seagal? I'm like, I forgot about him.
What channel?
I was like Showtime or something, one of the movie channels. I was like, why is this even on? Well, now I'm up. What am I going to see him
it's
cut
on
up
for you.
Screwhead, or is it Screwface? That's the villain in that. I'm going to watch that. And then that led me into a whole other, you know, it led me down a Seagal path where last night I was examining the...
You've got issues.
Yeah, the greatness or the, I guess, the absurdity of one Steven Seagal.
All right, well, we got to get going with COVID cast 83.
Yes.
83.
I thought it was 84.
Is it?
I think it's 84.
I'll go do a... audit on that, and I'll get back to you.
Well, because 80 was Wednesday, and so Thursday was 81. Oh, we didn't do a show Friday.
Are you sure 80 was Wednesday?
Yeah, because I left my last show.
Oh, well, this would be 83, because we didn't have a show Friday.
We didn't have a show Friday. Ah, it threw me off.
Yeah, 83.
Yeah.
We've done 83 of these.
Red farts.
Well, we've done 82.
MLS is back today.
Again, Mike, stop trying to screw that in here.
Some bad news out of the MLS, though.
What? What happened?
We'll talk about it.
Why? I don't want to talk about it.
Well, we should probably break.
Why?
Because we got another team with
you
what,
just teased
9 cases.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, I didn't see that either.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think I saw it today. 9 cases.
You think?
On? No, 9 cases. I got to look it up and find out who it was.
Neither of us saw it, so.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Our breaking news.
I had no idea. Hopefully, it's not the Portland team.
No.
Because we love our Thorns here in Portland. Or, I mean, our, what's her name? The Timbers. We love them here in Portland. Timbers. All right. Well, this is getting awkward. Let's get started. And so it begins, coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. You will have to imagine today's poll question once again, I think, because Will is...
He's still gone.
I think so.
Maybe Will got Seagal'd. I don't know.
Will Darkens.
Someone suggested, by the way, that Showgirls was what I was watching. I wish I was watching Showgirls, because I'll tell you right now...
What a
that
terrible
if the
movie.
Elizabeth Berkley, Gina Gershon classic comes on at 2:30, you're damn right I'm watching
Are
that.
Are you serious?
I love Showgirls.
God, that movie is terrible.
It's fantastic. If that movie's on, I'm so watching that.
You just want to see, what's her name?
Elizabeth Berkley.
You want to see her boobies.
100%.
Because they appear in that movie.
When I was a kid, me and my brother went and signed up for a video membership at VTran Video because they carried the uncensored version. Because there was the R-rated version and then like the real one. Hmm. And Blockbuster only carried the R-rated version, which just wasn't going to do. Because I didn't get to see it in theaters. But you better believe VTran Video let an underage Jason Sukanik sign up for a membership and then rent the NC-17 version of Showgirls. It's a great moment in my life.
Hmm.
Jesse Spano, dance spinning around the pole? Oh, yeah.
All right, well, 1080thefan.com is where our poll question typically resides. It is always brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. Today, the poll question that you must imagine and vote on by thinking of your answer is the following. What should happen to non-revenue college sports? Revenue-driving sports should pay for their existence. Endowments should pay for their existence. Private donations should pay for their existence. Or they should just be club sports unless they profit. 1080thefan.com in your head and vote.
Mm. Would you like me to vote now or?
Yeah, it's kind of why I laid out there. You're the star of the show.
Unfortunately, sorry, I'm still thinking about Seagal. And what if Seagal and Showgirls teamed up and you made a movie where Seagal, like a Vegas show starring Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Elizabeth Berkley and the Lisa Turtle, I forget what her name is, from Saved by the Bell.
Not only did Souk lose sleep last night, he is losing brain space today, continuing to think about Steven Seagal.
No, I'm just thinking like a hostage situation could happen inside the Vegas like showroom. Where they're doing the big performance.
Could you add Nev Campbell?
Yeah, we can add Nev Campbell.
Thank you.
I honestly don't know if she's willing to gear down like the other ones.
Wait, wasn't she the one that made out with...
Yeah, but they didn't show anything. Denise Richards showed
Denise
up.
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards could probably do that. But, you know, I don't know if Neve Campbell is willing to go. Like, this is going to be pretty bad. Like, I mean, it's going to be pretty lowbrow. And I'm not sure if she, Neve Campbell, is at that range. We could probably get you, like, a Tara Reid.
No, gross.
He's kind of gross. Like, who's, like...
I mean, used to be cute.
Yeah, we got to find someone, like, down on their luck, hasn't done anything for a while.
Her and Van Wilder, Choice.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's gone downhill.
Did you drop Choice on us?
Yes.
Are you under 30? You're not, are you?
I'm 31.
You need to cut that from your vocabulary.
we can make an attempt to give Neve Campbell. You know, we'll see what happens.
Who's the other one? Yeah, you said Tiffany Amber Thiessen. And...
Yeah, I think she could probably. She at this point is willing to do it.
You know who else I loved back then was, who's the one that's married to Freddie Prinz?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
Yeah, she's definitely.
Can we get her?
No.
Too good?
Yeah, too good. Well, she's like wholesome and. This isn't going to be a wholesome movie that we're trying to make here. It involves Seagal and showgirls and terrorists and, you know, things of that nature.
She in Cruel Intentions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
Choice.
Great movie. prime. Anyway, the answer to that is they're going to have to be club sports. I just think
the answer to what?
The mental poll question.
Shut up, Mike.
Sorry, I've derailed this again. I'm going to go down the club sport road.
It kind of seems that way, doesn't it?
It's trending that way.
Because endowments aren't going to pay for it and I know this is the big thing. By the way, the reason we're talking about this today is because Stanford cut 11 sports permanently after the 2020-21 varsity season.
Now, to be fair, Stanford had almost more sports than just about anyone, not name Ohio State.
Did they have 36 or something?
Yeah, so even with the cuts, they're still above most places. At some point, look, the line has to be drawn on the sand, and we all want to give kids opportunities to play, but, you know, I'm sorry, but if water polo is no longer offering scholarships or crew, I'm not going to cry for it. There's only so long that you can prop these things up. And, you know, Cal did this a number of years ago where Cal, I think, had 7 on the chopping block, including rugby and baseball, where they just told alumni, they're like, look, we can't keep doing this. If we want to stay competitive, we can't keep spending money that we make from revenue generating sports to go here. So they said, if you want these, we need to raise, I think it was like $7 million that they said from the donors, we have to raise that. And if you do that, then we can keep these sports going for it was whatever period of time they had. And they did, you know, the Cal boosters and donors came through and raised that money. And actually they raised it a lot more than that. I think they came in with like 13, 14 million, almost double or more than double of what they were trying to raise. I don't remember what the actual figure was. And that saved those sports. And that to me is what this is going to have to turn into. I mean, whether you play in the fall without fans or whether you try to move it, whether you play truncated season with just conference games, the butcher knife is coming for athletic departments. I mean, we keep bringing this up, but Ohio State said that if they play the season without fans, it's a $50 million loss. Now, I get it won't be $50 million for every school because Ohio State obviously is a bigger money generator for all their home games. But you're still without fans. You're just gutting athletic budgets, which are, you know, in some cases 80 to 90% football. And so whether you play these games or not, you're not going to have fans in the stands. You're going to have to make major sacrifices. So I don't want to see these sports go away, but it's just the reality of it. You can't have the only money revenue coming in be football, have that go away and not expect there to be cuts. And then when it comes to Title IX, it's going to be the other male sports that are going to get the axe. And that's just the reality of it. And if you want to keep them, if you're a fan of Washington State, if you're a fan of Stanford, if you're a fan of ASU or Oregon or whatever, you know, then you better get ready to write the check if that's the sport you want to see.
All right. Well, let me go back to what I was saying about endowments. Endowments, because they're on the poll question mentally, of course.
Sure.
A lot of people, when they saw Stanford cutting 11 varsity sports, they said, well, my God, they have a $28 billion endowment. Just pay for them. They're not that expensive.
Sure.
Well, endowments, it's not that simple. Like, endowments are not to be spent frivolously. They spend, like, I think the average university spends 4 to 5% a year because they need that to keep growing.
Sure.
And they need that for research and education and, look, far more important things than crew.
Yeah. Now, Stanford's endowment, to be fair, I looked this up today. Stanford's endowment was just shy of $28 billion.
I just said that.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Sorry.
So Steven Seagal is on your brain. I tell you what. But Yeah. So, but that doesn't mean that they should just blindly pay for these sports.
Yeah.
So the endowment thing is a little trickier than some people are like, well, you're rich, pay for it. Pay for it. It doesn't quite work that way.
Well, schools don't, I mean, it's just, again, the idea.
There are so many other priorities.
Especially at a place like Stanford.
For most universities, endowment money is going to go.
We get caught up in the idea because, you know, we're in sports. We love sports. We talk sports and Steven Seagal.
Nicole Eggert.
There you go. Now that you could get 100%, we could get Nicole Eggert to be one of the dancers. No doubt about it. We get caught up in this idea that sports is such a, you know, oh, well, you can't have universities without sports. And listen to any university president. You know, I remember Ed Ray coming on here once and talking about what a small percentage of the university budget athletics really is. And so while it's an important one because it's, you know, it's a recruiting arm, you know, to get students in the door and it drives donations, at a place like Stanford, there is so many bigger things going on than sports. I just don't think you're going to get these schools to dip in and knowing that there's not an end to this when you're going to have to do the welfare system. Because if that was the case, then there wouldn't really be budgets in athletic departments. You'd be like, hey, well, it's a shortfall and we need to build a new facility or we got to buy out our coach. USC, what's USC's endowment? I'm sure that thing's a couple $1 billion. And USC is having to make judgments right now on what they want to do because they had to pay out, what was it, like $200 million for that the doctor on campus, the sexual assault cases. They had to pay out one of the massive payouts of all time. And, you know, they're just, I don't care how big your endowment is. No one is just blindly throwing around, oh, well, here's $50 million. Oh, here's $100 million to keep these things going.
Yeah.
It's just not
the case. It's not. All right. So a few other considerations here, which we'll get to. And we do have a college conference already stepping up and canceling fall sports.
By the way, USC's endowment, $6
billion. Yeah. See, I think Stanford's is one of the biggest. I know Harvard's is the biggest.
Harvard's and like Yale's.
I want to say Harvard is like 45 bill. Bill.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I think I saw like something like that, 48, yeah. Something like that.
Well, I remember one time we kind of went through this. When we were talking about our schools, we were talking about like what's the best school and who has the endowments. And we went through the list and obviously the big ones, Northwestern and you know, the Ivy League places in Stanford, they have the biggest, but most schools, like big universities, have multi-billion dollar endowments.
Yeah. I guess another question to ask is what really is the value of non-revenue generating sports?
Sure.
And you know, everybody's going to value one sport more than another, like say baseball over tennis, because maybe they played more baseball or dislike tennis or whatever.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to come from a different place on it. But if you step back and look at it without bias, what really is that value? So we'll get to that coming up next. But first, Mike, sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, since we're on the topic, I do have the Maxim list of the 14 hottest 90s TV stars.
Ooh, there you go.
And Tiffany Thiessen is number one.
Kelly Kapowski.
And I cannot argue with that.
No, I was always a Jesse Spano. I was always an Elizabeth Berkley guy. So when she decided to do Showgirls, boy, that was a wonderful, wonderful moment for me.
Number two is Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
We forgot about her.
Yeah, and she's classic.
Because she stayed so relevant.
Well, and I think she has pulled the Benjamin Button. She's gotten hotter. I would make the argument that, because she's got to be like 46 now, mid-40s, maybe even older than that. She is hotter now than she was during Friends.
I think they all are.
Really?
Well, maybe not Courtney Cox.
No.
She's on here.
Courtney Cox has not aged well.
She's number five.
She
another good one?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
Christina Applegate.
Yes.
Great one.
Kelly Bundy still looks great.
Yes.
Jennifer Aniston, by the way, 51.
Wow.
Doing a Halle Berry thing, a reverse age.
We have Brandy. Don't forget about Brandy.
Brandy.
Moesha.
Oh. You forget about her because, well, she doesn't. What the hell does she do?
I don't know. She's hot.
Yeah.
Here is Lori Loughlin at number 10.
Boy, I love me some Aunt Becky.
Here's one that I really loved that's a little off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I thought she was great and funny and cool. Jenna Elfman.
Yeah.
Loved her.
And Greg.
Yes.
And, yeah. Again, same thing. Don't hear much about her anymore. By the way, I just Google imaged Brandy. Still bringing the heat.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Doesn't surprise me.
No. Well, you never know, man. It's like...
Yeah, you're right. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's, when you Google people and then put the word now after it.
Sure.
You never know what you're going to get.
The one for me, because this is going to be a little bit past the shows you guys are talking about, was Kaley Cuoco.
Who's that?
On Eight Simple Rules.
Yeah, and then Big Bang Theory.
And then Big Bang Theory. Cuoco. Yeah, she is quite attractive.
Boop, boop,
yeah.
Boop, boop.
And, but she's still like young enough. Oh. I don't think she's past the prime or anything. That show just ended.
She's 34, but I'm just saying that was a show I watched when I was younger, and she played a teenager in Eight Simple Rules, and I was like also a teenager, and I was like, wow, this is great.
By the way, Brandy went to the prom with Kobe Bryant.
What?
Yeah, they went to their high school prom together.
They were close.
I bet they were.
All right. Well, look here. Let me read you the story real quick about Stanford.
By the way, I looked it up real quick. You were right. The largest endowment is Harvard, with just shy of $40 billion. And then you get into Yale, Stanford, Princeton, MIT, Texas A&M's top 10, Michigan's top 10, Notre Dame, and Columbia round out the top 10.
So Stanford is dropping 11 sports amid financial difficulties caused by the coronavirus. And, of course, nobody feels sorry for them because, well, they're Stanford. And they have a big endowment in this and that. But they will discontinue men's and women's fencing.
What? What are those kids going to do?
Mariel Zagunas, remember her? The Oregonian that went to the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
She was a fencer.
I do remember that. But I mean...
you have dashed a future Mariel Zagunas dream.
I have.
Well, not you, but Stanford has.
Something tells me that some rich dude from Stanford who loves fencing will be willing to step up. And like, what does it cost to keep a fencing program going?
Lightweight rowing.
Wait. Like what? What?
Lightweight rowing.
Is that different? Lightweight rowing.
Is that different? Like, I can't participate in lightweight rowing?
Probably not.
Can you? Like, what's the definition of lightweight?
I don't know.
Like 145? Like what?
Never heard of it.
All right.
Men's rowing.
All right.
Co-ed and women's sailing.
Of course.
Squash.
Who knew squash?
What is squash? I don't know squash.
No male rower can be over 159.8 pounds.
I'm way out.
In lightweight rowing.
Way out. Could have done it back in the 80s.
No rower for females over 130 pounds.
What? What was the weight again?
159.8 pounds.
Lightweight rowing.
159. So
I'm surprised somebody hasn't gotten pissed about like discrimination.
Sure.
About that.
Well, and then you probably get into like eating disorders and whatever. Like you got to be throwing up in order to make it. I would have been able to lightweight row when I was fifth grade.
Yeah, right.
Fifth, sixth grade. Elementary school me, maybe not at the end, but at the beginning, I probably could have done it. And
that was Gustav, by the way. He was a rower.
I tell you what, Gustav, who works down on 94.7, you know him. He's very famous.
Yes.
He's down there during our time slot and before our show comes on every day. He's down there. Like Gustav is always in here. Great, great staple of Intercom and Portland radio, Gustav. I can count on two fingers how many times he has burst in here for anything.
No.
I mean, he just stays in his studio. He doesn't, and he doesn't care a lick about sports, knows nothing about sports, and admittedly so. He just basically tore down Mike's door and was as animated as I've ever seen him in there. What was going on?
He rowed in college.
Lightweight rowing?
And he said, I know the differences.
He was a
and
rower.
He, and he goes, it's not called heavyweight because you don't want to call a woman a heavyweight. It's called open rowing. So it's lightweight rowing or open rowing.
I didn't know they had fatty rowing.
Am I involved in fat ass rowing? They're like, listen, Tubby, you're in the back of the boat.
I'm not sure that it's fat ass rowing, considering that the maximum weight for lightweight is 159.8 pounds.
Yeah, that's true. Like
if you weigh 160, you're in open rowing.
You think they're shamed? You're like 150, and they're like, listen, fat ass, come back when you've dropped 9 pounds. Do it now.
You got people dieting just to get on the lightweight team.
Jeez. And squash is like racquetball.
Oh,
you asked what squash was.
I've heard of squash, never seen squash. Need to Google it.
It's
right next to Kaley Cuoco.
I don't understand the difference. I think the racket is different, but it's racquetball.
Okay,
it looks like racquetball.
I see it here.
It seems like it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, but it's not a duck. I don't know. I do not know what the difference is. But
all right.
How about this? It's racquetball light.
They have lightweight squash.
They've got lightweight.
They have
racket.
Fatty squash.
Fat. Well, I play fatty squash.
Synchronized swimming out. Didn't know that was a varsity sport. Men's volleyball.
I think of the Martin Short SNL one about synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at you. There you are. That's you. That was Christopher Guest, I think, was involved in that.
Men's volleyball and wrestling.
Yeah.
So after the 2020-21 academic year, Stanford will eliminate those varsity sports. And to your point, Stanford has more varsity sports than most schools. Most schools are like low to mid-20s, right?
Yeah. And
was the only school besides Ohio State that was over 30.
Yeah.
These cuts are like... Those are obscure sports, right? With the exception of
volleyball, wrestling,
maybe wrestling, but
yeah.
Oh, I didn't mention field hockey either. That's out.
Oh, okay. And that's female, right? I don't think males play field hockey.
I don't know.
I think you are correct.
I think that's only a female sport. Well, I know places like Washington State and Oregon State, they already kind of run a bit of a bare bones
that's
sort
right.
of athletic program.
Most schools don't even offer any of that stuff.
No.
So, you know, come on. We all see where this is headed. Within the next 7 to 8 years, these sports are the only thing that's going to exist with their college logos and for scholarships are for-profit sports.
Yes.
It's just we can all see where this is going. Everything else will be offered as a club sport or it will be disbanded. This way, the greed for the football money can take over.
Yeah.
And rich white guys can get richer and maximize the profits from football and basketball, and the basketball contract will no longer have to pretend that the stupid not following the NCAA rules is some sort of cheating. And maybe, just maybe, the competitive imbalance in college football and college basketball can be leveled out by a new, more sensible structure.
Yeah, I looked it up. Washington State, I think, and this is male and female combined, so like basketball would count as two. They only offer 15 sports between male.
That's running lean.
Between male and females. So yeah, there's plenty of schools that are already running lean and mean, and that's kind of the scary thing is the Stanfords of the world and the Ohio States and to an extent Oregon and Washington, they'll be okay. Like there's going to be some cuts. But when you're already running a bare bones budget, like Oregon State, Washington State, Iowa State, whatever, just the smaller schools, you know, even where I've, BYU, even Syracuse, right? You know, when you have to, when you have a drop in revenue that could be somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 60%, what happens at those programs? Because it's not going to be sailing that gets cut. You're going to have to really take a long, hard look at this. And there may be sports that are not revenue generators, but ones that people care about. And they may be the ones that having to, get cut off at the knees.
Deal says Stanford looking to save hundreds of dollars by cutting these sports. Well, there are some sports, to your point, we'll get to this next. I got one more thing on this. There are some sports that cost more than others that are non-revenue. Like not all non-revenue sports are created equal.
Yeah.
So what are the most commonly cut non-revenue sports? I have a list for you.
Okay.
Do you think you can guess what the number one is?
Non-revenue.
It is a men's sport.
That are cut.
Yeah.
Wrestling would probably be the one that I would
It's up there,
about.
But it's not number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a guess.
Well, you already guessed.
Well, I know.
You lose.
Oh,
well. You lose this game, pal.
Well, and now someone's yelling at me because squash is not even close to racquetball. They're like, look it up.
Come on, Rob.
I'm sorry that I'm not familiar
Who
with
cares?
The game of squash. It looks like racquetball. I love that Squash Bro is in. There's always someone that's
squash
pissed
bro,
off.
Squash Bro is waiting for his sport to come up on this show for 15 years, and it finally did, and he didn't like
no,
it.
No, he's like, you son of a bitch. You correct that. It is not even close to racquetball.
Racquetball's for peons.
Who's the greatest squash player of all time? That'll appease
Boaty
this.
Boaty McBoatface.
Who cares?
What do you mean? What, Mike?
Is there a
so
universally recognized best squash player of all time?
Well, we're all Googling. We'll be right back. 3:47 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, if you're just tuning in, it's COVIDcast 83. And a COVID cast here is defined by a radio show, a sports radio show with no major team sports going on in the United States. This is the 83rd one of these. And yes, it has devolved into top 10 best squash players of all time.
And by the way,
and I apologize.
And Steven Seagal and your favorite female actress when you're growing up.
Sure.
Nicole
and
Eggert.
Showgirls and Steven Seagal making a mashup movie.
Yeah. Which I think
they get the point, Mike. They
hot
get it.
Endowment talk.
Small endowments, big endowments.
I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name.
Medium-sized endowments.
Sure.
And I think they're brothers, but Janjir Khan and Jansar Khan are the top, notably the top two best squashers
now,
of all time.
I'm more of a Janjir Khan myself simply because of the mustache. I mean,
that's an old photo.
That is a power stash that he's got going on.
Peter Nichol, Jeff Hunt, Jonathan Power.
What about Amir Shabana?
Yeah, he's underrated. Yeah. Chris Dittmar, I thought, had a really solid paddle game.
Yeah. Now, Nick Matthew was the first North American world champion, of course. Yeah. I mean, who can forget that?
What a pioneer.
He's from Canada.
And he did it drunk.
Yeah, the whole time. Now, I will say to Squash Bro, who was all pissed off that I compared it to racquetball, I just looked it up. It's damn near the same game, just with slightly different rules. The rackets look really, really similar. One's a little bit longer. The way it's scored is like one you can score only when you serve. The other one you can score whenever. But one you have to stand in the serving box. The other you can stand in both serving boxes. It's very, very, very similar.
Is the paddle different?
It's just slightly longer than the other one. I'm telling you, you could stumble across a squash game and think you're watching racquetball. So to Squash Bro, who's all pissed off that his game is being compared to racquetball, it's essentially the same game with slightly different rules.
Can I just tell you that Janjir Khan, widely regarded as the number one squash player of all time, won 555 straight matches. Now, can I just tell you that? How great would that be?
I don't know.
How would that make you feel?
I'm going to need some context of what's the second longest streak.
Do you know what that is? But think about it. 555.
Seems like a lot.
That is, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, that is the longest winning streak by any athlete in any top-level professional sport.
Ooh. So really, the cons, there is no other. Like, when we talk about the greatest athlete of all time, why isn't he brought up?
He was an amateur champ. At 15, he dominated the sport.
I mean, he's right. He's like the Tony Hawk.
I should have played squash. I bet I would have beat him.
I think you have to be from a different country or rich.
Oh. Like, is it a rich guy sport?
I think it's a rich guy sport, or I think it's from the look of it, India. It's big over there.
Okay.
So you got to...
I know nothing about squash.
No, nor do I.
Okay.
Someone asking, can we bet on it on the scoreboard app? I don't know, but I feel like maybe we should look into that.
That's a good question. They have everything on there.
That is true. I mean, you can bet on like women's Korean basketball. Yeah. Why can't you bet on squash?
Yeah. A little squash parlay for your weekend enjoyment.
Bet on cricket, if you will. I know that's big over in India.
Where was I? Boop, 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 boop. Oh, non-revs.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have some sports cuts info for you.
Mm-hmm. You asked what's the most...
Yeah.
Common non-revenue generating sport that gets cut. So we know it's going to be a male sport because
it is a male sport. Yeah.
Well, again, when you're making cuts, you have to, you know, Title IX, you're going to cut male sports.
And I
said wrestling.
Yeah. Wrestling is number boop, boop, boop. Since 1990. Wrestling is number two.
Okay.
Most cut. Yeah, and of course, people at Oregon still upset about that.
Yeah, I think there's only a handful of Pac-12 programs that even offer wrestling anymore.
So number three is men's swimming. Again, most sports slashed in college since 1990. Wrestling number two, men's swimming three, men's gymnastics four, and baseball five.
Okay.
We're only missing one, the number one.
One sport. More time, run those.
Wrestling, men's swimming, men's gymnastics, and baseball.
Volleyball.
No, that's a good guess. It's men's tennis.
Oh, okay.
And the reason it's men's tennis, for two reasons, mainly. One, cost of facilities. And two, a lot of their rosters are international. And those young men have plenty of places to play elsewhere.
Interesting.
Yeah, so men's tennis. So men's tennis.
I just wouldn't think of tennis as an expensive thing, but I guess.
I wouldn't either. And I always thought kind of tennis. Well, I would think of it as it's definitely expensive. Mm-hmm. Because you got to rent the court. So, like, depending on what area of the country you're in.
So I was kind of thinking golf might be the expensive.
If you don't rent the courts, you got your own building, and that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Golf has been slashed most a lot recently. But, again, there's not a ton. Because all the players get their own equipment.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of overhead in golf, right? Like, the golf course fees, I guess.
And it's not your
travel
it's
for tournaments.
It's not your golf course. There's a home course, but I'm sure you probably get a pretty good deal on that.
Men's tennis is down from being offered at 93% of Division I schools to 71% now. That's been over about a 30-year period. But my point is about the value of these non-revenue sports. Look, that sucks. It does.
Yeah.
I'm for sports at the college level, as much as you can offer. But does anyone miss it at 20% of Division I schools, right? Those kids, in other words, there are other opportunities for those young men to go play.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about that is it sucks that they are that kids are missing out on the opportunity to get an education by participating in those sports. But I would also ask the question, how many of those are full rides? How many of them are partial? I don't know how many of those opportunities are really being taken away. And I don't like the argument of, well, the kids are missing out on the experience. Boo-hoo. I'm sorry.
What, the college experience?
The experience of playing college sports.
Oh.
I hate that argument.
Well, Exactly. They'll replace those experiences.
Exactly. Like, if you told me that, you know, I didn't get the experience of playing college football, yeah, it would have sucked. But
it's at what cost?
Exactly, right? It's like I understand that.
You can't just give everybody everything that they need.
That didn't make or break my entire life, right? And if you take away men's swimming or men's volleyball, the part that I would feel bad about is if it is a kid that is their only way to go to college is through an athletic scholarship, and that gets taken away.
Ooh.
Your education and the experience on college campuses in general, that's the one that I would feel bad about. But again, I asked the question, I don't know, and I wouldn't even know how to go about those numbers. How many of those are full ride scholarships? How many of those kids would not get an opportunity to go to college otherwise? That's where I think that the tragedy of this would be, is if you've got hundreds or thousands of kids across the country that no longer get the opportunity to go to college.
I have a point to make about that, which may entirely change your opinion.
Okay.
Or just, you know, just the idea of that thought. Something that I read today was very enlightening on that subject, and I'll bring it to you, but we have to pause. So we'll do it next. It's 3:58 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.